again. Our offensive operations, refined through months of relentless preparation, are unstoppable. And our defensive efforts are unprecedented. We have, from the start, put the protection of our troops ahead of everything else. Before we very publicly built up offensive combat power, we quietly ensured that our defensive posture and power was in place. And as we built up offensive combat power, we moved the vast majority of American troops, over 90% of Americans that were on our bases, what we say, off the X, out of the range of Iranian fire. Our defensive shield is equally formidable, the most sophisticated air and missile defense network ever fielded. Thousands of Iranian missiles and drones have been intercepted and vaporized. Tens of thousands of American and allied lives protected. We have pushed every counter UAS system possible forward, sparing no expense or capability. And like I said, this does not mean we can stop everything, but we ensured that the maximum possible defense and maximum possible force protection was set up before we went on offense. In closing, as President Trump told German Chancellor Merz yesterday, Iran negotiated in bad faith, stalling, scheming, and preparing to strike. And we acted decisively to defend our people, our interests, and our allies. President Trump took bold action, putting America first, the kind of bold action that the American people elected him to execute. To our steadfast partner, Israel, your mission is being executed with unmatched skill and iron determination. Fighting shoulder to shoulder with such a capable ally is a true force multiplier and a breath of fresh air. We salute your courage and your contribution. 4 days in, we have only just begun to fight. America fights to win, and in Operation Epic Fury, we are. May God's providence cover and protect our troops always. And with that, I turn it over to the chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary, and good morning, everyone. Thank you for being here. I'm here today to provide the American people and those of you in this room an update on Operation Epic Fury. First, it's with profound sadness and gratitude that I share the names of four of our six fallen heroes, all from the 103rd Sustainment Command, U.S. Army Reserves out of Des Moines, Iowa. Captain Cody Cork, Sergeant First Class Noah Tejens, Sergeant First Class Nicole Amore, and Sergeant Declan Cody. To the families of our fallen, we grieve with you today, and we look forward to welcoming your family members home at Dover in the coming days. Out of respect for the other families, we'll withhold the release of their names until next of kin notification is complete. And either myself or Admiral Cooper will release those names as soon as we can ensure that all of those families have been properly notified. To our Gold Star families, to our wounded warriors and their loved ones, we will never forget your sacrifice. Our nation stands with you, and we are eternally grateful for your courage, your resiliency, your devotion to this mission and to our nation. As the Secretary said, we're 4 days in, 103 hours into this campaign. The operation was again launched with clear military objectives designed to dismantle Iran's ability to project power outside of its borders, both today and in the future. First, we are targeting and eliminating Iran's ballistic missile systems to prevent them from threatening the U.S. Forces, partners, and interests in the region. Second, we are destroying the Iranian Navy, degrading its capacity, capability, and ability to conduct operations, not just in the Central Command AOR, but as the Secretary showed in the video, around the world. Third, we're ensuring Iran cannot rapidly rebuild or reconstitute its combat capability or combat power, and those phases will begin as the campaign continues. As of this morning, U.S. Central Command is making steady progress. Iran's theater ballistic missile shots fired are down 86% from the first day of fighting, with a 23% decrease just in the last 24 hours. And their one-way attack drone shots are down 73% from the opening days. This progress has allowed CENTCOM to establish localized air superiority across the southern flank of the Iranian coast and penetrate their defenses with overwhelming precision and firepower. We will now begin to expand inland, striking progressively deeper into Iranian territory and creating additional freedom of maneuver for U.S. forces. Let me explain a little bit about how we're thinking about staying ahead of the enemy. First, over the past several weeks, Admiral Cooper and the CENTCOM team have refined their operational approach to the region. Their planners identified key centers of gravity that would allow Iran to project power outside of its borders. They thought about how to isolate critical vulnerabilities and determined where, with precision, the greatest strategic effect could be achieved. As a result of this, CENTCOM is now shifting in day four already from large deliberate strike packages using standoff munitions at range outside an enemy's ability to shoot at us, now into stand-in precision strikes overhead Iran. As the Secretary said, this is a point of munitions transition from standoff munitions to stand-in munitions like joint direct attack munitions, which are GPS-aided free-fall weapons, and other things like hellfires, etc. This will allow the joint force to deliver significantly increased precision effects on the target. The throttle is coming up, as the Secretary said, as opposed to ramping down. This will allow us to maintain consistent pressure on the adversary over the coming days, disrupt their launch timelines, and impose cost every day around the clock. I know there have been a lot of questions about munitions. We have sufficient precision munitions for the task at hand, both on the offense and defense. But I want to tell you, teammates, as a matter of practice, I don't want to be talking about quantities. And I know there's been a great debate about that, and I appreciate the interest, but just know that we consider that an operational security matter. Let me flip to the map here. Hopefully I don't kill anybody with a laser pointer. As I mentioned earlier, and for you with the camera right there, my friend, I hope I don't ricochet off and hurt you. Over the initial days, the U.S. Joint Forces continued to attack and attrit ballistic missile capabilities as well as integrated air defense capabilities along the southern axis. Along the northern axis, Israel and the Israeli Air Force has predominantly been working integrated air defense targets along the northern flank, as well as medium-range ballistic missile capability as well. From the sea, the USS Ford has continued to project combat power here, as well as the bomber pulses that we talked about in the opening days of this briefing. Along the southern axis, the USS Abraham Lincoln Strike Group has continued to provide pressure from the sea along the southeastern side of the coast and has been attriting naval capability all along the strait and up into the Arabian Gulf at a size and scale sufficiently to address the targets required. To date, we've hit over 2,000 targets, as Admiral Cooper said in his video last night. We've destroyed more than 20 Iranian naval vessels, including, in addition to the frigate outside of the area, one submarine, and effectively neutralized at this point in time Iran's major naval presence in theater out there. As the Secretary showed the video, for the first time since 1945, a United States Navy fast attack submarine has sunk an enemy combatant ship using a single Mark 48 torpedo to achieve immediate effect, sending the warship to the bottom of the sea. I want to remind everybody that this is an incredible demonstration of America's global reach. To hunt, find, and kill an out-of-area deployer is something that only the United States can do at this type of scale. Over the next 24 to 48 hours, CENTCOM will continue to strike infrastructure and naval capability, and we'll continue to assess our progress against the military objectives. It does take time for us to collect that information and to assess en route. Much of our intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance capability is currently hunting and killing ballistic missile launchers and one-way attack capability. We're precise in that assessment, and we call balls and strikes in that assessment. We take that matter seriously. Iran, on the other hand, has been indiscriminate and more imprecise in their attacks. They fired more than 500 ballistic missiles and more than 2,000 drones, striking innocent civilian targets throughout the region. Our partners are answering the call to defend themselves right alongside us. Jordan, Bahrain, Saudi Arabia, the UAE, Qatar, and Kuwait are all defending their people with their own combat capability, with precision and restraint. Jordanian air defense crews recently intercepted a cluster of Iranian one-way attack drones headed to Amman. Bahrain's air defense forces shot down an inbound drone approaching Manama's maritime infrastructure, protecting both their population and critical shipping lanes. Saudi Patriot Battery stopped a salvo of ballistic missiles aimed at energy facilities near Dahran. The UAE neutralized multiple drones targeting Abu Dhabi's industrial zone, demonstrating speed and precision. And Qatari fighters, for the first time, have shot down two Iranian bombers that were en route to their location. Together, these nations are helping to defend themselves and project power as required against the enemy. We're 100 hours in. It's still very early, as the Secretary said, but the balance is shifting. We've always got to remember that these operations are complex, dangerous, and far from over. Our soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, Guardians, and Coast Guardsmen remain in harm's way, and we must be clear-eyed that the risk is still high. This is combat. Let us never forget this. As we continue, I ask that we hold all of our deployed teammates in our thoughts, those standing the watch, flying the sorties, sustaining the fight, and carrying our nation's burden. And I'll stop where I started, and that's remembering our six fallen who will return home as soon as possible. I remain humbled, grateful, inspired by every day the valor and professionalism of our joint force. They are quiet professionals through and through, out there doing America's work through the day and through the darkness. And with that, I'll take your questions along.
All right, so there you have General Dan Kane, the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and Secretary of War Pete Hegseth giving a brief update. You know, Pete Hegseth with a lot of strong talk, talking about how, you know, we've basically taken out their entire leadership and their ability to reform, to communicate. And we sunk the Soleimani ship, which means that President POTUS got him twice. That was a pretty good moment. It's not mission accomplished. We're only not 100 hours in, but we are continuing to ramp up, and they are continuing to have diminished capability. The general mentioned that their ballistic missile capability is down 80%, or strikes are down 80% from the beginning, and just 23% down even in the last 23 hours, 73% reduction in drone attacks. We are prohibiting their ability to project power outside of their borders, including using a new, you know, a new phase of the attack, which is on location or stand-in munitions like JDAMs that you know, develop here at Eglin, and also the Hellfire missile. That's a very short range. That'd be like Apaches firing that within a few miles of a target. So you're talking about putting air on target very close in, not from a distance. He says we have enough munitions, but he's not going to talk about quantities. The first submarine sinking of an enemy ship since 1945, one torpedo took out their boat, and he doesn't want to talk about the numbers too much, but the other thing is that they have launched 500 missile attacks, 2,000 drone attacks, and we have defended against almost all of those, including two Iranian bombers that were shot down by Qatari air defenses, and the risk is still high, and of course, beginning and ending with the mention of the six members of the Army that were killed so far. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Culver's. Lent is here. Enjoy shrimp or fish dinners or sandwiches. Cordova Mall, Mobile Highway, Milton, and coming soon to Pine Forest. It's Culver's. Welcome to Delicious. Got a couple of accidents. Still working the one on Avalon Boulevard southbound as you approach I-10. Traffic is moving, but it's slow and go there. Also, we've got another accident happened at Shoemaker Street and Mobile Highway. So just be aware of that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. I know you could not see the map on the radio, but it is essentially the western border, which is up against Iraq, and then the southern border up against the water, the Persian Gulf and the Gulf of Oman is where all of the action has been so far as we gradually push into the country, having secured against the perimeter defenses. Hey, if you're looking for that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has a great selection, good quality used cars. And, you know, one of the things I recommend you do is go and look at a bunch. Look at a bunch of cars in the category you're thinking of, and then also include one or two that are outside that category. It is okay. You can test drive cars you don't intend to buy. You might learn something. You might learn, that's why I don't have a truck. Or, man, That would be a nice car to have. I like that. And I don't know, maybe you discover confirmation of what you were going to do, or maybe you discover something else to, you know, wrinkle the decision-making, because maybe there's a car out there that you would love to have and you didn't even know it. Drive it at Frontier Motors. Frontier Motors serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
How do you handle stress, worry, or anxiety? If we're not careful, those times of anxiety can rip us apart from the inside. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus tells us how to deal with worry. And he doesn't say just forget about it or that it'll go away by itself, nor does he say that we should run from it. Instead, Jesus tells us to take it one day at a time. He points out the nonsense of worrying about things we cannot control. Jesus reminds us that God cares for the birds of the air, and he says to you that you are more important to him than many. Many sparrows. God calls us to throw the whole weight of our anxieties on him and allow his spirit to fill our hearts with perfect peace as he handles the many things that are out of our control. I encourage you, rest in Jesus today.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Once upon a night, the Pensacola Little Theater becomes a living storybook. Welcome to Cabaret 2026 Storybook Soiree, where every room opens a new chapter filled with bands, DJs, aerialists, ballerinas, flash mobs, and unforgettable surprises. Wind your way through six open bars, culinary creations, craft cocktails, transforming the entire theater block. Cabaret 2026 Storybook Soiree, happening March 28th. Get your tickets now at the PLT box office or at PensacolaLittleTheater.com.
All right, 7:30 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Obviously, we just got done getting the briefing from the Pentagon, Secretary of War Pete Hegseth and General Dan Kane. You'll probably hear more about that coming up in a moment from Fox News. David Wayne will also have your local news coming up in a second. And then we have Mayor D.C. Reeves. And listen, I don't want to tell you what it is, but I will tell you that you're going to love to hear the announcement that he is going to make this morning. Pretty cool stuff.
News. I'm CJ Pop of the Pentagon, delivering an update on the war in Iran for the second time this week.
America is winning decisively, devastatingly, and without mercy.
War Secretary Pete Hegseth briefing the media this morning, along with Joint Chiefs Chair General Dan Kane. A new Fox News poll shows Americans are divided on the military action taken by President Trump. Dramatic moments over Tel Aviv.
The reason I'm not sure if it's from Iran is because we just got a notification from the Army that people could leave bomb shelters. And the sirens just started to sound at the last minute, and so we'll have to see where this incoming fire is coming from.
That's Fox's Trey Yanks. And Turkey reports NATO defense has intercepted a ballistic missile launch from Iran before it entered Turkish airspace. A Turkish foreign minister telling his Iranian counterpart to take steps to avoid a further widening conflict. America's listening to Fox News.
To release that,
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got sunshine. It is 61 degrees here across the area. We'll get our full forecast. Brooke Richardson from Channel 3 has that for us in just a few minutes. A Pensacola area Iraq war veteran says the recent U.S. strikes on Iran are bringing a sense of closure to many who served overseas and lost friends in combat.
Our Iraq and Afghanistan veterans can now start the healing process. It was extremely devastating for so many to have fought in the Iraq and Afghanistan war, knowing that Iran was the main backer behind all of that.
That is Dan Gilead. He talked to Channel 3. He was medically discharged after being hit by a roadside bomb that nearly killed him during his second tour in Iraq. Gilead says the developments are emotional for a lot of veterans who still carry the weight of their experiences. Meanwhile, Congress is moving towards a potential war powers vote that would require lawmakers to authorize any additional military action. Well, in Milton, the city's now on track to replace every remaining cast iron natural gas pipe in its system. Federal regulators have approved an expansion of the gas line replacement project after the first phase came in under budget, freeing up additional funds. Assistant City Manager Sandra Woodbury says it's uncommon for a project of this scale to generate savings. The upgraded infrastructure is expected to improve safety and help reduce a backlog of customers waiting for new gas service connections. Construction began April of last year and is projected to wrap up by early 2027. Well, Mayor D.C. Reeves said on Tuesday that the city would face staff reductions if property tax reform passed. A reporter asked if the $9 million shortfall would require cutting employees. The mayor said that cutting 27% of the general fund budget would definitely impact the largest expense in that budget.
We've had about the same number of employees since well before I got here, and because that's something we monitor, and we monitor turnover. We want to make sure that people are staying, so we have good expertise out there sweeping your streets and keeping you safe and cleaning stormwater ponds and everything else. So we're mindful of that all the time, but I don't see a scenario where you're going to have 27% of your budget cut and that wouldn't have some impact on the largest line item expense within that budget. So,
and the mayor said that the city's entire parks and recreation budget is nearly equal to what would be lost under that proposal. The measure has passed the House and Senate and it will go to voters. The Department of Defense identifying a Polk County soldier among those killed in Operation Epic Fury. 35-year-old Army Reserve Captain Cody Cork of Winter Haven was one of the four service members killed in Kuwait when an unmanned aircraft struck their location. Cork joined the National Guard in 2009, earned multiple medals during his military career. His family says he felt called to serve from a young age. He leaves behind a lasting legacy in the lives he touched. Well, the annual Super Bowl chili cook-off at the Florabama raised more than $24,000 for the American Cancer Society. 18 teams competed in that event, with guests sampling chili and voting for their favorites. Organizers say the money will support local cancer initiatives, including Fork Cancer Pensacola. The Florabama says the cook-off has been a community tradition for more than three decades, blending food, fun, and fundraising. It's 7:35 at News Radio. John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. If you're on Avalon Boulevard southbound trying to get onto I-10, still dealing with that earlier wreck that happened. Also, Highway 90 coming into Pensacola, experiencing about a 15-minute delay. I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, expecting a 12-minute delay. And also, if you're trying to get on NAS Pensacola front gate, you're experiencing about an hour wait. Traffic is really backed up, so just be prepared for that. Other than that, we look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thank you very much, John. And now our Channel 3 forecast with Brooke Richardson.
We are going to be looking at a nice day today with partly cloudy skies, high near 74 degrees. Temperatures tonight dropping near 61 degrees. For Thursday, mostly cloudy skies, high near 73. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 65. Heading into Friday, 20% chance of rain, high near 75. And Friday night, temperatures dropping near 65 degrees. Second Act at Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
63 with sunshine right now. Our next news at 8. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Some breaking news for you. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent said President Trump's recently announced 15% global tariff will be implemented sometime this week. Bessent also predicted on CNBC that U.S. tariff rates would soon effectively return to where they stood before the Supreme Court struck down Trump's most expensive duties. OpenAI is considering a contract to deploy its AI technology on North Atlantic Treaty Organization's unclassified networks. This comes days after the ChatGPT owner struck a deal with the Pentagon. Volvo car sales volumes fell 10% in the 3 months through February due to trade tariffs and other market headwinds, but sales of fully electric cars jumped. Volvo Cars, majority owned by China's Geely Holding, said in a statement that it sold nearly 157,000 cars in the period. Futures are currently mixed as traders monitor the U.S.-Iran war developments. Tuesday, the Dow Industrials lost 403, the Nasdaq down 232, the S&P 500 lost 64. That's your money now.
Visit Pensacola is home for all things Pensacola. I'm Darren Schaefer, CEO of Visit Pensacola. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel this week as we discuss what is next for our community.
This week, we have everything you need to know about the Sun Belt basketball tournament that is in town, how your kids can be at Fan Fest, and the Dribble Drive.
Friday at 9:30, let us show you the way to beach on News Radio 92.3.
Have you ever gotten stuck being the one who has to figure out the food?
Yeah.
Birthday party, office lunch, family get-together, and suddenly everybody's looking at you.
Me?
That's when you call Voodoo Barbecue. Whether it's catering for 5 people or 500, they make it easy. They show up, the food's hot, and it smells incredible. And nobody's asking where the plates are. Slow smoked barbecue, big portions, real flavor. The kind where folks go back for seconds and ask,
where'd this come from?
That's Voodoo Barbecue Catering. Go to catering at voodoobbq.com and get your mm-mms ready.
Right now, somewhere close, your dream house is sitting there. Maybe it's got the perfect porch, a backyard made for barbecues, a kitchen built for big family meals, and it's just waiting for you to call it home. At Penair Credit Union, we make it easy to get there with great rates, flexible loans, and local lenders who know the market. Whether you're buying, building, or refinancing, we're here to help. So what are you waiting for? Learn more at penair.org/homeloans. Equal housing lender.
It's tax season, and at LifeLock, we know you're tired of numbers. But here's a big one you need to hear. Billions. That's the amount of money in refunds the IRS has flagged for possible identity fraud. Now here's another big number. 100 million. That's how many data points LifeLock monitors every second. If your identity is stolen, we'll fix it guaranteed. One last big number. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code NEWS. Visit LifeLock.com for the threats you can't control. Terms apply.
You don't stop needing information just because you left the car. That's why News Radio 92.3 goes with you.
On your phone, on your computer,
wherever you are. Stream us live or download the News Radio 92.3 app. Stay connected to local news, breaking updates, and conversations that matter even when you're not near a radio.
And that's a good thing.
It's News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative.
Informative.
Local.
Local.
Dependable.
Dependable.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now by phone as he is in, I think, Fort Walton Beach this morning, Mayor D.C. Reeves, Mayor of Pensacola. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, why are you over there?
Heading over to FPL Symposium.
Okay. All right, gotcha.
Early drive over in traffic.
Well, I have been teasing and promoting to people that we were going to make a big announcement this morning, and I want to start with it because of all the things you do in your mayoralty and so many different things happening, I think this is the best, biggest, most people are going to find this fascinating announcement, and I'm going to let you say it. So tell them what next week's city council, what is the big reveal? What's happening?
We are voting on taking some of the FDOT right-of-way south of the graffiti bridge so we can put a laser warning system in to take on the most formidable boss this community has ever seen, which is the graffiti bridge, undefeated, and see if we can have it have a few less collisions. As we've seen over the generations.
So it's not immediate, but next week, assuming city council goes along, and I cannot imagine why they would not, this will establish a memorandum of understanding with FDOT, because the big issue with all of this has been who owns which piece of land, who's going to allow which things to go in, and then getting all of that navigated. But if it all works out, which it doesn't seem like at this point there's any reason it wouldn't, when will construction start?
We should start the summer, and it's a few different things that we've been waiting on so we could do it all at once from a cost savings standpoint for the taxpayer, but we'll be putting the warning system in on both sides. The parking lot that is much needed TLC for the parking lot of that boat launch right there at 17th, as well as the pedestrian walk under and not having to have our life under the bridge to get through, but now would have the under the trestle closer to the bayou inlet. Mm-hmm. There you would have a place to walk under and connect to that boardwalk that's on the north side. So all of those things will finally take place. We've been mired in land, just like you said, land use and who owns what, who's going to maintain what, and it's only been for the south side, Andrew. North side's been that is all city road at that point on the north side. It's the south side getting close to the 3 mile bridge where FDOT, which I still don't believe this stat that I'm going to tell you. I need to confirm it for myself, but I believe that this is the first infrared system in the state of Florida.
Oh, nice.
It's just hard to believe that there isn't one other bridge in this big state. But that has been a lot of the holdup, and understandably, FDOT saying, hey, you know, we want you to maintain this system. It's yours. So that means it's got to be on your property, not ours. So there was lots of red tape, so to speak, to get through over this past year or so just to get the south side worked out.
So tell people, I've actually posted it on Facebook because it's in the backup to the city council meeting agenda for next week. But so people can see it on either my Facebook page or on a News Radio Facebook page. You can see the pictures for yourself. But how will this actually work? Like if you're driving a box truck and you're coming off of, let's say, Three Mile Bridge or an RV, and you make the mistake of going to the roundabout and hooking a right, and now you're headed towards Graffiti Bridge, what are you going to see, what's going to happen, and how will we prevent you from running your box truck into that bridge at your expense because the bridge doesn't care?
Right. Now you will have a much, much stronger warning light show coming towards you with enough time to stop. That's the other key piece. And remember, we've talked about so many iterations of this over the years and before my time here about we always talked about the chimes, right? Like maybe have something that signals it. The problem with the chimes is twofold. If you do it too late, you're going to hear some chimes, and about a half second later, you're going to hit the bridge.
Yeah.
If you do it too early, you have this little pesky boat launch over here, and you know what's going to hit a lot of those chimes? Boats. So that was really the quagmire of how do you handle the south side of somebody going northbound on 17th, where you're not clanging everybody's boat who's just innocently going to the boat launch, but also allow enough warning time for someone to actually stop. So that's where we landed on this more modernized solution that you will drive, and this sensor will know if you're too tall, and you will be not by volume, but by lights flashing and warning signs in front of you will be yelled at to please stop and to pull over. So more than just a sign that says low bridge that we've had historically. So again, I can't promise that it's going to stop every single person, but this will be the best offensive yet to stop the undefeated bridge.
So you're going to have sensors just north of the roundabout, and then there's going to be a big, basically, display board sign on the right before you get to the turnoff to the Visit Pensacola, and on the left parallel to that. And that's going to warn you, overhead vehicle detected, stop, don't be stupid, various forms of this. And then another sign farther after that says, overhead vehicle, turn right, and giving them clear instructions that they can turn right and go into the boat launch area, turn back around and drive through to the Visit Pensacola turnoff and come back south and go towards the roundabout. I assume on the north it's not as easy to figure out the turnaround problem, but I assume it's something comparable on the north side as well.
Exactly. And again, we've spent less time really focused on it because that's been city property. So putting the equipment in itself hasn't been as laborious. But yes, it'll be something similar, probably, you know, where the exact signs will be located and distance might be a little bit different. But again, the hope being that we couldn't say it any louder and remember, there's a real cost every time this happens, not just to the rail company that's got to go inspect the bridge. But, you know, that's our police officers. You're the police officers you're paying for to go out there and deal with that and block traffic and stop people from getting to work on time or school on time. And so, I mean, you add up that times however many times we've been through this. There's some real value to being able to try to hopefully, God willing, solve this once and for all. Or at least 99% of the time.
Absolutely. We're talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves. I will come back to him in just a second. By the way, this segment, this interview with him, is brought to you by Lambert Transfer and Storage. Choose the team with a legacy, Lambert Moving Systems. Visit GoLambertTeam.com. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Knox Pest Control, their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, visit KnoxPest.com. Knox them out. Still dealing with the accident that happened earlier on Avalon Boulevard in San Jose Street as you head southbound toward I-10.
I didn't say anything about San Jose Street.
As you head toward I-10, it is down to one lane. Traffic is moving, but it's very slow. And Highway 90 coming into Pensacola, experiencing about a 20-minute delay to get you into Pensacola. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. I love you, brother. Back to Mayor D.C. Reeves. All right, Mayor, last thing, and just because, I mean, I know this is still a next week, and then it's this summer, and then, okay, but by the end of this year, we should have a fully functioning warning system in place on the south side and the north side of the 17th Avenue Graffiti Bridge Trestle, finally at long last. Here's my prediction. Okay. When we haven't had a strike in 6 months to a year, people are going to be sad that you took away their sport.
Yeah. I understand the collateral damage that is not allowing people to hit our bridge anymore, and yeah. You know, the potential political negatives that I'll be taking on because I won't allow people the social media entertainment. But yeah. I think it's I've weighed my options, and I still believe that not having people live through the thousands of dollars of damage each time it happens, plus all of the bandwidth that. We feel like it's the right thing to do, but I do apologize in advance if you see a decrease in strikes for our personal entertainment.
It is a weird little part of our identity that this happens and we get to joke about it and see it and share it, and you know that's going to be a loss, even though nobody wants to admit
and
it.
Hold on, and don't sell the human race short now. Don't assume that they're all go away.
You're right. Right. Yeah. I am. We are talking about a population of people that still thinks that we can't navigate around about what makes you think this will 100% solve the problem. So fair enough. No, that's a fair. You know, people don't trust a lot of things, and maybe they won't trust the warnings and the lights and the blinkers and anyway. That's true. A couple of other things going on. Obviously, you have talked and you've talked before. This is not new, but you were talking again yesterday about the $9 million loss of recurring money. That's every year money if the current proposal of the property tax referendum does go through. I just wanted to do a 15-second for people's comparison. Okay. That's a quarter of your general revenue budget. And just for comparison, the parks budget is how much?
About $10 million.
Okay. The road repair?
The bottom line is, when you don't have numbers and when our leadership isn't giving any viable alternative solution other than the free money solution, right? Everybody agrees to free money, but what consequences come with free money?
Right.
Well, it's been crickets, right? I mean, has anybody around the state heard even if we argue that it shouldn't be a replacement of $9 million, should it be seven? Should it be six?
Right.
There's been nothing proposed on that front. So, but I do get a good chuckle out of the, well, cut 27% of your general fund budget and be like, oh, you know, just move a couple pennies around. That is not the case. I mean, there's going to be conversation about parks, about sidewalks, about what services that the city can even afford to provide. So if we were talking about 3%, that logic might hold, that we'd say, hey, we got to tighten up our belt and go to the next thing and make some difficult decisions. 27% beyond, you know, wishy-washy decisions about priorities.
Right. Right?
We're talking about impacting the fundamental services that you expect. And so, you know, if you say, I don't care, Mayor, then just imagine if we don't have a parks and rec budget, you know, that the park that you go to in the city of Pensacola, how important is that to you? And maybe it's not.
Well, that's why I wanted to give people, I just wanted to, because I know it's easy to say these are the big things, but I wanted to really give them a numbers view of this. If we're losing $9 million, the entire parks department is $10 million, what's the road repair budget in Pensacola roughly? And I know you may not have this top of mind, but if you happen to know.
Yeah, I don't have it top of mind, but I can tell you that that road repaving program is about $1 million a year right now.
Okay.
Now, if I went and checked my emails, I don't get a lot of emails saying every road is paved perfectly, right?
Right.
I think there's lots of ones that I typically get the opposite. So again, I say this at town halls, and I've been saying this for months. If you say, I don't want to pay that anymore, that is certainly your right, your liberty as a voter to say that. But when you don't have state income tax and you don't have any other significant revenue stream, then that means you're voting for a loss of services. And
right.
You are not voting for free money. You're voting for a loss of services. And there is no scenario that a 27% cut would survive significant loss of service.
And like, for example, for people to wrap their brain around it, like in the county, the entire road resurfacing budget, I believe, is around $6 or $7 million. In the city, of course, losing $9 million, yeah, it's much less, as you said, about $1 million a year. PPD budget is running about how much? Now, I know PPD is supposed to not be able to be cut. Good luck making that math all work out.
Which is a whole nother, in essence, Andrew, that's an unfunded mandate on top of
it. Of course.
I mean, what you're saying is, I mean, remember, we have union negotiations starting back again with fire. Well, how is that going to go when we're having an unfunded mandate that says you're not allowed to touch another dollar? Here's what I use. $48 million is police and fire. $48 million. We, our entire non-CRA general fund property tax contribution is 25. So explain how we're going to continue to fund at 48 when we lose our largest revenue stream at 25. I mean, it's just not. So I don't even know how that would be possible. So I know it's easy politically to go and say, well, we're going to cut your property tax. Oh, and by the way, don't worry, because we'll look bad by saying that we're going to cut public safety. So we're just going to flippantly throw in there that we're going to not cut public safety. But there's, I don't know how that's a financial reality for 100 plus cities in the state of Florida.
I couldn't agree more. That's exactly the point. And the very flippant, unserious answers by the representative running the bill in debate were just, it's so so disappointing. You know, you'll just work it out. You'll contract with the sheriff. You'll figure out how to cut the money. You know, it's profoundly unserious. All right. By the way, congratulations on the CDBG announcement with the money there. Congratulations on, the ongoing possibility, at least we hope, for the soccer field. I thought that was an interesting conversation. We just don't have time to talk about it today. I knew people would be most interested in Graffiti Bridge because this has been a so many years thing that we've been trying to solve. We always like to end with a lightning round. Quick questions for you. First question for you. You buy unopened mayonnaise. You know, you bought it from the store. You brought it home. Does the unopened jar of mayonnaise go in the cupboard or in the refrigerator?
Well, option C, I don't eat mayonnaise. So neither one.
Okay. All right. It's fine. Do you remember a game that stressed you out as a kid? A game that, you know, made you have to grow up because you learned to deal with stress? Like a toy, if there is one.
I was thinking tackle football out in the in the middle of the front yard or backyard.
Yeah, pain,
you know,
for sure.
Waiting for a broken leg.
All right, fair enough. Dr. Seuss's birthday was yesterday. Does Mayor Reeves have a favorite Dr. Seuss book? Oh, sorry, Monday. Yesterday.
I would probably go Green Eggs and Ham. I mean, you got to stick with the classics.
That's a good one. That's a good answer.
You know, and that's the extent of my reading level typically. So, it's still on my shelf today.
Corollary, did you ever read Your Lady, a Dr. Seuss book, as a date idea?
No, I haven't. But did that work?
it got me a 28-year marriage. Yeah, we're good. So,
I should have taken your advice earlier.
As usual. Mayor D.C. Reeves, always appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week. Look forward to the city council meeting next week as well. We'll see you then. Thank you so much. Safe travels.
All right. Absolutely. Thanks.
All right. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
I told you. All right. Let's see here. I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 through that construction zone, experiencing a 7-minute delay, and Highway 90 coming into Pensacola experiencing a 15-minute delay, and Avalon Boulevard as you approach I-10 is still seeing about a 9-minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Did you also see, I don't know if you said it already, I might have missed it, the 9 Mile and Fowler light is out?
No.
By the Walmart? By the Lowe's. Excuse me, by the Lowe's. Just FYI. We got a report in from somebody about that as well. All right. 437-1620 is my phone number. If you wake up in the morning feeling refreshed, that's great. That's how it's supposed to work. If you wake up in the morning feeling sore, tired, like your body got worse overnight, that's a mattress problem. I mean, there could be other things, but that is a big key bright line indicator that you might be sleeping on the wrong mattress. And I know you don't want to go buy one. I know they're expensive. I know it's annoying. I know you feel like you got to deal with people that you don't want to deal with. Oh, okay. Just go to the Sleep Center. They've been doing this for 30 years. Everybody else tries to be like them. They're not. Best selection, best service, best price. Thane Taylor, they run this the right way. No commission, no pressure. You want to be left alone to look around and pull out all the tags and look at, you know, what's the price of everything? Fine. You want advice? Also, fine. Okay? They deal in the memory foam, the Tempur-Pedic memory foam. It is patented. Nobody else can make it. The imitations are not the same. The foam cells, in the Imitations have 2 to 3 air openings. The Tempur-Pedic has 14 to 15. It is a completely different thing that NASA developed, and they have the proprietary system for it. So there, you just have to try it. Okay, I'll tell you. Now, it's not for everybody. You might like something else. I mean, I actually like kind of the hybrid model that has the foam plus the coils. But everybody's different, and that's the point. Go talk to them. Learn what you need to know. Make an informed decision and find out that you can actually wake up in the morning feeling good. The Sleep Center on the north side of Creighton, just east of Davis Highway.
Need to move across town, across country, or even across the globe? Trust Lambert Moving Systems. Veteran-owned, military-approved, and now celebrating over 100 years of moving excellence. As a quality award winner, BBV accredited, and agent for North American Van Lines, they handle local, long-distance, industrial, and international moves with packing, storage, and warehousing available. Serving Pensacola to Mobile and all surrounding areas and supporting the Gary Sinise Foundation. Choose the team with a legacy. Lambert Moving Systems. Go LambertTeam.com.
Parents usually know if their children will argue over their inheritance, but this can be prevented. I'm Wesley Odom with Armada Advisors. No one wants to see their wealth wasted away because of poor planning. I've assisted several clients with estate planning ideas and sometimes have served as trustee or executor upon their death. Give me a call at 497-6167. Armada Advisors is charting a better course.
I know that all the middle schoolers in the car right now are like, 6167? 6-7? Well, of course they are. All right, David Wayne is in the newsroom with a headline or two for us before we go to break. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Nearly 24 states are giving GoFundMe 2 weeks to prove the fundraising site is not plagiarizing donation web pages or taking tips from donors. A lawsuit filed by New Jersey State Attorney General Jennifer Davenport and 21 other attorneys general is demanding that GoFundMe show all authorized donation pages.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.